Beloved congregation, with the help of the Lord, I will preach the word of God this morning from the scripture part that we have been reading from John 21, verse 1 till 14, and we read especially as the text verse for the sermon, verse 4, John 21, verse 4, where we read as follows, "But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus." The theme for the sermon is an important lesson. 3 points of attention: disappointment, obedience, and abundance. An important lesson. 3 points: disappointment, obedience, and abundance. Congregation, I remember there was a teacher when I was in high school, and he said when he handed out a test that he had been marking, he said, "Well, maybe you had an insufficient mark, and that's a pity, that's not good, but don't forget that it are those tests that you learn most from." And what he meant was, you know, when you get back a test, when you get it returned, and you look it over and you see your failures, you see your mistakes, and then you will remind them. You will feel bad about that and you will remind it, and so you will not make that mistake again, probably. And I thought when he said that, well, that might be true, but I still do not like it to receive a bad grade. But it is true. There are those things in life that we feel bad about, we do not like, we are disappointed about. Still, there's such an important teaching and lesson in those things. And wasn't it a very important night that those disciples had to go through? A night that seemed to be fruitless, that was so hard and so disappointing because they didn't catch anything the whole night. Can you imagine that? Those experienced men, fishermen from their youth, and then in the whole night, nothing. It was in the time after the Lord Jesus resurrected from the grave, and they were waiting. They had to wait. They had to wait for his ascension and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. So they couldn't go out in the world, they couldn't do it in their own strength, and they had to wait for the time of the Lord. And it's not wrong. I cannot see that it would be wrong that they did what they did. They were together, Simon Peter and Thomas and called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. And Simon Peter said unto them, "I go a fishing." They say unto him, "We also go with thee." So that's what they are going to do. They are taking the work that they had done before, the labor, and they try to use the time in the right way. It's a blessing if we have our daily work, if we have our labors that we can do so that we are not empty and that we can make a living. And they probably needed that. They were just simple men, called from the work that they had been doing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't go to a high education. They were fishermen. And they were called to follow the Lord Jesus. And he had touched their hearts and they had followed him. And now they had to wait. And they used their time to do this work, to make a living, to earn something so that they could live. And there they go. They go fishing. And when we read this, we also see how those men are. They are men used to work with their hands. Like I said, they were not highly educated, and still the Lord used them to do such a wonderful thing in this world. The Lord would use them to bring the gospel throughout the whole world. And that's a thing that you wouldn't believe would be possible. Just a handful of men, not those wise of the world with their philosophies and with their high education, but just those men that had been with the Lord and had seen Him. And that was enough. That was everything that was needed to be used in the hands of the Lord to bring the gospel in a dark world, full of a world full of idols and unbelief and power of the darkness. And there they would go. The Lord would use them. Oh, I hope you have that strong trust in your heart that for the Lord nothing is impossible. Oh, how bad it is that we doubt so many times. Will the Lord use me? Will the Word do those things that are promised in the Word? Will it really change hearts? Will it be able to touch the hearts of my children? And while we have such an abundance of testimonies in the world, well, we can see the power and the miracles that the Word has been doing in this world. How the heathen people have been coming from darkness to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel has been going over the whole world. And everywhere they come, doesn't matter where the circumstances of any nation was, the Lord is building His church there. Isn't that such an encouraging thing when we see that? Let us think more about that. What the Lord did with just a handful of men. And how He blessed it. And I do not deny that they can have their difficult times, and they will have their difficult times, and there was a resistance, and like we can experience, and they will have had their dark hours and their discouragements, and but still it happened. And the Lord is the same. And the Word is going on in this world. And oh, that we might be used in the hands of the Lord, so that sinners will be saved. Let us have expectation from prayer and from the preaching of the Word, from the power of the Word that is mighty to change hearts. The Lord did use His disciples. But now He's gonna teach them an important lesson. They go fishing. Simon Peter said, I go fishing. They say unto Him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. Nothing. A whole night. Laboring. And time after time, when they were pulling in the nets, they were empty. Oh, how discouraging that is. It was a well-known area where they were, when they were there at the Sea of Tiberias. They had been there many times. And the work they were doing, oh, they had done it for many years. They knew everything about it. And it was the right time. They were fishing during the night because during the day it would be too hot. So, everything seemed to be good. And still it didn't work. The whole night, they caught nothing. What a dark night. I mean, children, not only dark because the sun was not shining, but dark because it was so disappointing. What would happen if you have such a time in your life that you try to do your work, that you try to do the things even in the service of the Lord, and there's no result? It's only dark and you catch nothing. How would you feel inside? How would those fishermen have been feeling about it? Maybe there's someone here this morning. Maybe one of you, boys and girls. Or you, if you are older, children, that you can be so discouraged. That you think, is the Lord really there? Is He really willing to help me, to use me, to save me, to bless me? I cannot see it. It seems that everything is against me. It's all fruitless. I catch nothing. Yeah, that's against our nature. We do not like it. We can feel so discouraged and so disappointed. And then even the question can come up, what is the reason? Is it wrong what I'm doing? Are we at the wrong place? Is God against us? And it's good to search our hearts. But if we search our hearts, and we can say in an honest way, well, there is not a thing in my life that I want to continue in, and I know I should stop it, a sinful thing. Although I know that all my works are full of stains of sin, are not perfect, it's not that way that I want to continue in a sinful way of living. If we have searched our hearts and can say that before the Lord, O Lord, and if there's anything, reveal it to me. Then we have to see, well, there's another reason. The Lord is teaching me a lesson. And I still have to trust Him. And those disciples, they were prepared. The Lord was preparing them for being fishermen of men. They would be used to throw out a net to catch men by the gospel so that their souls would be saved. And oh, how much we need persistence to persevere, to endure things when we are called in that ministry. And in a certain way we are all, although we are not all pastors or elders or deacons, we all have that ministry, that a light might shine in a dark world, that a way of salvation for sinners might be seen. And we can be disappointed, and then to trust the Lord. So one lesson is that we should not stop, but continue in doing the work of the Lord. Another lesson is that there will be no fruit, that there will be no fruit, no results. If we have to do it in our own wisdom, how much wisdom we can have and will have. If we have to do it in our own strength, it will be fruitless. That's a lesson. If we forget that will be bad. If we do not bow our knees before the Lord, if we do not see how deeply we are dependent from Him, that He would use our labors, that He would bless it. That's important to see that. If we think we can do it in our own strength, we will boast in ourselves. There will be pride in our hearts. Well, I'm one of the best servants of the Lord. You know, I do it the best way. And then we steal the glory of the Lord, and the Lord will not give His glory to someone else. And yeah, we are a hindrance instead of an instrument in the hands of the Lord. So it's such an important lesson that those disciples are taught in this long, dark night. And maybe you are taught also such a lesson. How do you feel about it? Do you feel like stopping? Do you feel like being totally discouraged, thinking that the Lord is against you, maybe attacked by Satan? So remember what is written here. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. There they are with all their disappointment. They are laboring and no result. And they didn't see how near Christ was, that he was standing there on the shore. And oh, that also these things are in the hands of the Lord. And that all those things that can feel so bad and difficult in our lives, those dark nights, that they are not without the Lord, that it is his governing of our lives. And I hope that it will be blessed to our souls, that we will not become angry and bitter and upset in all the disappointments that we can experience, but that we might see Christ. They didn't see him, but he was there. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. He had seen them, laboring them there. He did not forget them. And he was busy with them. Well, they thought it was all useless and fruitless. He was busy to mold them, to shape them, to be useful in his service, to humble them, so that they would be useful fishermen of men and expect everything from God. And see that he is the one that can send the fish and can send men and draw them to be saved by the preaching of the gospel. Oh, if we see that, there's never a reason to be discouraged. The problem is not with Christ. No, the problem is with us. We do not see him. We do not see him enough. We do not trust him enough and rest in him and expect it from him alone. That's the problem. Our faith is not perfect. We are doubting so many times. It's so weak. We need the Holy Spirit to work faith and to increase faith and to humble us so that we will be low and the Lord will be high and we will look upon him and give it in his hands when we have done what we should do and expect that he will give the fruits to grow to the glory of his name. 7 disciples going fishing. And also a very important thing we see in this history is that the Lord will reveal himself as the risen one. If we ever would doubt that, he is making it sure again here in this history that he is the living one and that he is the Almighty One and that all things in heaven and on earth are in his hands. He is even sending fish. He is changing and moving hearts of men. Everything is possible to him. Nothing impossible to the Lord. It is a night of disappointment. Yeah, we can have those times. I know that. We can have those times when we feel our weakness. Maybe you, when you are grown old, you feel weak. You feel maybe Even you can feel useless, that's possible, I don't know. It's not true. It's not true. How important is your prayer for the church, for the souls? Maybe you can be discouraged when you think about your own soul. You do not see fruit in your own heart and life. Life can feel like a dark night, and you see, well, it's only becoming less in my life. I grow older and older. I can do less and less. And one day, I have to die. Like my father is very weak now, and they were writing in the mail about him. He's mostly laying on his bed now, and what he is doing, he is praying. And they hear him say many times, "Oh, grace. Grace, oh Lord, grace." So will the Lord forsake, if you, how miserable you are, will he not hear your prayer? If you call to him in such a humble way. Maybe the night is dark for you, but now if you see that new morning that will come, and the Lord Jesus standing there on the shore, and he is having everything that you need, and he is giving everything that you need. That's what happens to the disciples. How encouraging that is. There is not only disappointment, there will be abundance. But in between there is also the obedience. Then Jesus said unto them, "Children, have ye any meat?" And they answered him, "No." So there is a stranger on the shore. They are not aware that it is the Lord Jesus. And he is asking for some food. "Did you catch something so that we can eat? Do you have any meat?" And they have to admit, "No, we don't have anything." And that's a lesson we all have to learn. That's the thing we all have to admit. That's how our life by nature is. Like a dark night, without any fruit. When we do not know Christ, and when we do not live from Him, there is nothing. When we search our hearts and lives, and the Lord would ask us, "Do you have anything to offer me?" What can we say? "No, Lord. We do not have by nature anything to the glory of thy name. We come short of the glory of God." Oh, that's humbling. Did you come to that point? Did you admit that to the Lord, confess it to him? They answered him, "No." Did the Lord bring you so low that you had to admit, "Oh Lord, I cannot save myself. I cannot live to thy glory"? "No, I have nothing." There you are. And he said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." That's strange. They are experienced fishermen. They know very well that you used to cast it on the left side. And he said unto them, "Cast a net on the right side of the ship." But he is so kind to them. "Children, have ye any meat?" There's no rebuking. And then when he is asking this thing that sounds strange to those experienced fishermen, they do it. They obey. There's something They still do not see that it is the Lord, but something in His command, in what He says to them, that's making them to obey. Yeah, there's a power in the Lord that is making you to do the things that you by nature wouldn't do. I remember that time, that it was the Lord's Supper and I was still young. And I was afraid, but I love the Lord and I know, I knew His grace in my heart, but I didn't make the decision to go to the Lord's Supper, but it happened. When there was the invitation, it happened. There was something drawing me to the Lord's table. They did it. There is power in the speaking of the Lord's. His word is mighty, powerful, making people to change. And they cast therefore, and ye shall find, there's a promise. They cast therefore. That's wonderful that they do not resist. They do not resist. They just do it. Although it's strange, it's the morning now already, so the best time is over. And they used to throw the net to the other side, but they do it. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. They were obedient, and the Lord blessed it to them. It can be that the Lord is calling us to a thing that we would never do. But if He is speaking, and if He is calling, that you still are doing it. I remember when we had a call to our second Dutch congregation in the Netherlands. I said to my wife, and the consistory visited us to explain how the situation was, that I can never do that. It is impossible. Now this is too difficult. I'm not going to do that. And before the time of decision was over, I had to call that we had to go there. The Lord is speaking, working. Then you have to obey. Did the Lord make you so obedient? Did you experience the power of the words in your heart, that you couldn't resist anymore, that He humbled you so much, that you had to do to come to Him and to do what the Word is saying to you, that His Word is so powerful to your heart, you couldn't any longer resist. And oh, there's a promise that the Lord gave to them. He said that He would find, and ye shall find. And aren't there many promises in the Word? So give up to do it in your own way, to save your soul, and give it in the hands of the Lord, and just kneel down and be saved in His way, by grace alone, as an unworthy sinner, as one who deserves hell and eternal punishment, and that you just rest in the work of Christ with all your own hopelessness and hardness of heart, that you come. Now, aren't there many promises? Come ye unto me that are tired and have many burdens on yourself. Oh, there are so many promises in the Word. And is there ever anyone disappointed when in the disobedience of faith you did come? With all your guilt and sin, is there anybody here that can say, well, I did do that, and the Lord pushed me away, kicked me away, refused to accept me? No, there's not such a thing in the Word. only the opposite. How he welcomed sinners to himself, and they were forgiven, and they received abundance. But it is in the way of obedience that we obey the word, like it is proclaimed and preached to us, children, young people, and you that are older, that you obey the word, come unto Christ and be saved, trust in him and his work on the cross, and nobody will ever be ashamed who does that. Or do you love sin? Do you love the world more? Don't you see how empty your nets are when you try to catch the things of the world? You cannot live by it. There's no eternal life in it. And the day that you will have to die, there you are. You will not enjoy sin anymore, like you do now. Sin cannot give you any pleasure anymore. Your money cannot help you. The honor and the glory that the world is giving you cannot help you. It's all gone. It was only for a time. And then you have to stand before the judgment seat of God. And if you didn't throw your nets at the right side, you will be lost. If you try to catch the things to save yourself and make yourself happy in your own way in the world or in religion, there's nothing that can last for eternity. But if there is that power of the word that made your heart obedient, to throw it in obedience to the word and the commandment of the Lord Jesus, there will be an abundance that you will catch. Yeah, they didn't see that it was the Lord Jesus. And that's what can happen in your life, that the Lord is busy with you and you are still not aware. It's not clear to you, but that he is busy in your life. And I do not want you to rest outside of Christ, but I want to encourage you and to watch it, how the Lord can be preparing and working in your life. And maybe you are so discouraged because you do not see it. They didn't see that it was the Lord. And then we become aware how different the children and the servants of God are. You have those that are like Peter and those that are like John. They have their different characters. But they are both children of God, dear children of God. That's making us careful when we are in the service of the Lord and we see how people can be different. We shouldn't be fast to judge them because they are not the same as we are. God is using Peter's and John's, all sort of different characters. I sometimes compare them to Luther and Calvin. When you see Peter, he is the man that is doing something. And when you have John, he is the man with a deep insight. And we need them both in the church. And in the service of the Lord, we need them both. We need a Luther who went in front. And we need a John who made it so deep, systematically clear what Scripture is teaching. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, that is John, who is writing the Gospel and not not mentioning his own name, said unto Peter, "It is the Lord." John is the one With a deep love to the Lord and a deep insight in the things of the Lord, if you read his gospel, you become aware of that. And then Peter. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And that's Peter. He's the one that's acting, doing a thing. It's showing that he also loves the Lord very much. He's forgetting about the fish and the ship and the nets and everything, because the Lord is there. And everything else is less important. If the Lord is there, that's everything to Peter. Do we understand that? Do we have that love in our hearts like John? That we, by the light of the Spirit, can have such a wonderful insight in whom Christ is. But also like Peter, that we have to do the things and forget about everything. The things for the Lord, to live with him and near to him. Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 359. Verse 1-4, 359, stanza 1, unless the Lord the house shall build, the weary builders toil in vain. Unless the Lord the city shield, the guards a useless watch maintain. 359, stanza 1-4. congregation. It is so beautiful, so good to see people having a heart for the Lord. People, to see people that is, they're having a sight, a deep insight like John, or people like Peter that want to do everything for the Lord, that can leave behind everything for the Lord, can forget about everything if the Lord is there. That's the only important thing. And Peter, that's how he's behaving there. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. That means he had only a few clothes, so that he could labor very well, and it cast himself into the sea. So it was shallow, they were near the coast, and he was casting himself into the water to be the first one to be with the Lord. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. It was so full. There were so many. That's what the Lord can give. Just in a moment. The Lord usually is working in such a surprising way, showing us our unableness, and then showing his abundance. We can be so discouraged when we see that we are unable to do the things we want to do, we have to do. And then the Lord is coming and doing it for us. How encouraging is that? If we experience that, oh, that we would trust him more, and that we would expect more from him. What an abundance we can receive. Also in that, can we say, simple obedience, daily obedience, in continuing, in doing the things of the Lord, in a humble way, and that the Lord can give us times that we can be so surprised about his goodness, about the fruit that he is giving that we didn't even expect anymore. That he is showing his glory. There is so much fish that the net is full with fishes. But then they come there, and they come ashore. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid there on and bread. Oh, that's strange. There was a man asking if they had some meat, and now this miracle, and then they come there, and there is fire and coals and fish and bread. Everything is there. There's no need for what they have. It's all there. This man has no lack. And still, he is willing to use them to catch fish. But he has it all himself. Isn't that a teaching for us? That the Lord is not in need of us. He can do all things himself. No, we shouldn't think that the Lord can't do without us. He can. But still he is willing to use us as parents, as office bearers, as Christians in this world, to use us to throw the net on the right side to catch fish, to catch man. By the words. And it can feel like, for a long time, like being fruitless. When we are teaching the Bible class for the neighborhood. Or when we are going to jail. Or to downtown, to the homeless. Or wherever. You can have a hard time, even in your own family, that you think, well, is the Lord working in the hearts of my children? You can have a hard time in your own life. What about my heart? It's so cold. It's so sinful. It's having such a desire to the things of the world. And now, to trust the Lord, that he is able and willing to change such a heart, and to be obedient in using the means, and to cry out to him. And oh, what an abundance he is giving here. Yeah, So he can use man, but there's no need for God to use man. And usually the Lord is working in such a surprising way, in a way that we didn't plan, we didn't expect. Why? Even a way that we do not like, a way where he's humbling us and making us disappointed about what we are doing. Why? So that he would have all the glory. So that we would be humbling and ourselves and glorifying the Lord. That there would be worship to God and gratitude. There is fish and bread already. So instead that they will feed him, he is going to feed them. But no, he is allowing them to bring. He is using their labor. Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. The Lord is using the labor of his disciples that he gave them himself. The fish they caught, he caused it. But he is also willing to receive it. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, and 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. 153. Well, there are many things said about that number. Yeah, you can make some explanations about it. Yeah, I read a nice one. One commentary said, well, the name of Peter or Simon is mentioned 9 times in this scripture part. And if you take the number 17, then 9 is just in the middle of 17. And if you count, if you take 1 plus 2, plus 3, plus 4, and you go on till 17, they say, I didn't check it, they say you come to 153. Well, that's nice if you find that, but I'm not sure if we have to find these things. What is the reason that it's mentioned here, 153 fishes? Well, it seems like the Lord says, well, take them all in your hands. And count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It seems to be endless. 153 fishes. How many? Oh, what a miracle. How great is God. How good he is. How mighty and powerful. We didn't catch anything the whole night. And he is giving it all at once. Isn't that a lesson? Isn't that important that we take the things, that we take the things in our hands? What the Lord has done in your life. This he has done. And that. And that. Oh, how many things he has given me. How good and great is the Lord that we would count our blessings. And that we would see his goodness and greatness and might and power. How encouraging it is. We forget it too much. We can be so careless about those things that the Lord gives and forget to thank him for it. We like it to receive so many gifts of the Lord. Lord, I would like to have this and that. And now he is giving an abundance, and we can be like that 9 lepers that just forgot to come back to the Lord. And thank him and worship him for all the things that he had done. How many things did the Lord do in your life? From that you were young, a child? Didn't he give many, many blessings in your life? That you were born in a Christian family? Maybe, probably, many of us. Brought up in a Christian family. Baptized. Taught the Sunday school, catechism class, could go to the house of the Lord, Have your own Bible, Christian teaching. It's endless. It's too much. We cannot even number them, all the things the Lord has given us. Or are we angry about some disappointments that the Lord gave us to teach us for our best, for the good, to learn us so important lessons, and we are angry about them, bitter in our heart. He took things and we forget what Job says. Would the Lord give us the good things and not the bad things? He has given and He has taken. Is it all not what He is allowed to do? How is it in your life? Let us sit down today and count the blessings. And if the Lord gave you so many blessings, would He not be willing to give you the most important blessing, the salvation of your soul? Isn't there abundance of grace in Christ? Is He not willing to fill your nets with debt if you throw it at the right side in obedience to His word? Do you think that? Would you really say that the Lord would not be willing to do that, not be able to do that? So why don't you do it? If you have to say, well, there's no grace in my soul. Are you aware of the danger of your soul? Did you ever think about that endless dark night without anything to enjoy? Only disappointment. Did you ever think about that? And now the door is open and the grace is offered to you this morning by such a kind Savior. Children, have ye any meat? And you have to say no. Then He is providing and He has it already and He wants to receive what He is giving you. Isn't this a good Savior? He is the risen one. He is alive. And He is in heaven there at the right hand of the Father. And He is giving His Holy Spirit. And He is giving His word. And He has promised that He will give the Holy Spirit to those that cry for it. So, why should you be lost for all eternity? Well, the Savior is coming to you this morning. Like the disciples have met Him. They didn't see Him for a long time. We don't know why. It took some time before they saw Him. It can take some time before you see Christ. It can be a struggle in your soul, it is. But oh, He is so willing to reveal Himself this morning, like He did that morning there at the sea. And then you will experience His goodness when He will have supper with you. Peter never forgot it. He has been writing, he has been speaking about it when he is there at the house of Cornelius. We read about that in Acts 10, verse 41. We read what Peter says. He says, even to us who did eat and drink with Him after He rose from the dead. He did not forget it. And he used it when he is preaching there. How the Lord revealed Himself. And that He was eating and drinking after He had been rising from the dead. He is the living one. So there's no reason to doubt that. Seven disciples saw Him. Saw that He was really there as the living one. And He was revealing Himself to them. And Peter, if you read his letters, like we hope to do this evening, he is speaking about the power of the Word. That's a seed of regeneration. And how this Word came to you this morning. It's a powerful Word. Oh, that it might be received in your heart. and that there might be hope in Christ, in God. And there is hope for sinners like you and me. Amen. Let us pray together. O Lord, we come to Thee, and Thou hast revealed Thyself from the Word this morning to disciples that didn't catch anything and that couldn't offer Thee anything until Thou gave it to them, and then they could. Lord, that's how it happens in the hearts of sinners. We do not have anything, but that we might be obedient and throw the net at the right side to receive everything from Christ. Forgiveness of sin, renewal of our hearts, justification, sanctification, peace with God. Lord, apply Thy word to our hearts and souls. And Thou knowest how it is in our hearts. They can be like a stone, O Lord, but it's not too difficult to Thee, for Thee to change that. And we pray Thou would do that, so that we might offer Thee a thanksgiving and worshipping, because we received it first from Thee, that we might experience what John is writing in his letters. We love him because he first loved us. And that we might have supper with the Lord Jesus, who has prepared everything himself, but still is willing to receive the things that he has worked in our life. Oh, and what a wonderful time it is if we can sit in that, on that new morning with him, to have communion of faith with the Lord Jesus after a dark night. And there are many of those nights in the lives of Thine children, O Lord. But there will be also a new morning, that Thou art revealing Thyself and giving in abundance after we have been humbled and have experienced our powerlessness and how impossible it is for us to do the things. And then we receive everything and see the abundance in Christ and have communion by faith with Him and have assurance of faith when we see the risen Lord who reveals Himself. O Lord, reveal Thyself to our hearts every day, that we might live in such a close fellowship with Thee, so that we might be kept from sin and be protected against Satan and be used and usable in Thy hands, O Lord. We thank Thee for Thy words, and help us this day, O Lord, to be silent before Thee and to receive the word in our hearts, to think about the word again like we heard it this morning, so that it might sink in deep in our hearts as a seed of regeneration, that it might be fruit to Thy glory. Thou art worthy to receive all the glory, all the praise, all the worship in heaven and on earth. Lord, we thank Thee. Forgive us our sins. We pray it for Christ's sake. Amen.